Good morning. Well, it's a joy to be here with you this morning, and I thank you for the opportunity and the invitation. This morning, we're going to be looking at two texts. We're going to be looking at James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. The text in James, if you're looking at your pew Bibles, can be found on page 1013, or I guess 1012 in your pew Bibles. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Hear now God's holy word. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And this can be found on page 995 if you're using the Pew Bibles. Now, Paul's just again proclaimed the gospel, and now he says in verse 14, "Remind them of these things and charge them before God, not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Let us now ask God to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and again thank you for this great privilege that we have, this privilege to come and worship you together. Our Father, many come this morning with burdens on their hearts, perhaps anxieties from their lives or troubles that are facing them this past week. But Father, as we take a look at your word, we ask that you would take any of these distractions from our minds, that we would focus completely on you. And Father, we ask in particular that you would guide my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during my first year of seminary, I worked as a caregiver for an in-home care agency in the greater Pittsburgh area. And so my job was I went into the homes of elderly men as well as adult disabled men, and I provided in-home care for them. And I very quickly developed a very close friendship with an elderly couple. It was a husband and a wife, and they very quickly became my favorite clients. The husband was 94 years old, and the wife was 92 years old, and they'd been married for 67 years. And the thing that really struck me about them was that for the most part, they got along really well. They were just an absolute delight to spend time with. But I quickly realized that there was one issue in their marriage, one issue of contention. But it only came up on Mondays through Fridays at exactly 4 o'clock p.m. And that one issue in their marriage was Judge Judy. You see, the husband loved to watch Judge Judy on Mondays through Fridays at 4 o'clock p.m., but the wife really hated it. She would have much rather the two of them take a nap together. And so every weekday at 4 o'clock, I would hear them bicker over whether they should watch Judy or Judge Judy or whether they should take a nap. And it often just brought a smile to my face. It was kind of cute. But it also made me think, you know, what a silly thing to fight about. What a silly thing to quarrel about. But isn't that like each one of us? Each one of us are guilty of fighting and quarreling about really silly things. Maybe we fight with our families about what television show we want to watch in the evenings. Or maybe we fight about who took the last cookie from the cookie jar. But sometimes we fight and quarrel in the church as well. Maybe we're getting ready to install new carpet in our auditoriums, and so we begin to fight because some people want to have red carpet to symbolize the blood of Christ, and other people want to have brown shag carpet to cover up the stains. And so we begin to fight and quarrel about these silly things. But fighting and quarreling is not a new problem for the church today. In fact, there's nothing new under the sun, and fighting and quarreling really goes back to the fall. And we see many examples throughout the scriptures of men and women that fight and quarrel. For example, Lot quarreled with Abraham. Absalom created a war with his father David. The disciples of Jesus argued over who would be greatest. Paul tells us that at Corinth, Christians were suing one another, and they were competing in the public assemblies. And we know that at Philippi, two women were having trouble getting along. But God has written both of these epistles to us to give us the knowledge and wisdom to know how to deal with the fighting and quarreling that so often comes up in the church. In fact, Paul wrote this epistle to Timothy to give him wisdom and guidance on how to deal with this quarreling in a pastoral way. And these texts apply to us today. They apply to us as we think about how we ought to deal with the fighting and quarreling that so often comes up in the church. And that really brings us to the main theme of our text this morning, that main point, which is that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Now this morning, as we take a journey through our two texts, we're really going to be asking three questions. And that first question is, why do we quarrel? What is the root of why we quarrel with one another? The second question we will ask is, what's the problem with quarreling? Why is it so bad? And then the third question is, what is the cure or the solution for conflict? So first we're going to look at, why do we quarrel? What is the root of why we quarrel with one another? Well, please look at James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 with me. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So James begins chapter 4 by telling us that our fights and quarrels are driven by the passions within us, by the passions of our hearts. And James isn't just talking about our passions as in emotions. James is talking about our heart's desires. In fact, a better translation of this text is that our fights and quarrels are driven by the lusts of our hearts. That is, our fights and quarrels are driven by idolatrous hearts. Our fights and quarrels are driven by our sinful desires. James says, you desire and do not have. Maybe we're coveting what another believer has, or even an unbeliever. Maybe they have a beautiful house and we become envious because we would like a house like that. Or maybe they have a nicer car than we have, or a nicer job. Or sometimes we are jealous because someone has more respect than what we have, and so we covet the respect that that person receives from others. Maybe we want something in a congregational meeting and we'll make no bones about it. Maybe I'm that one person in the congregation that wants that brown shag carpet, and I'm going to make that the hill that I'm willing to die on. And so I begin to fight and quarrel with those around me. See, so often our desire is to satisfy our own pleasures like power and possessions. And oftentimes that is what prompts us on to fight with others. Oftentimes the problem is selfishness. One commentator says that so often we engage in contentious disputes which are produced by a foolish desire of being ingenious. Sometimes we fight and quarrel with others because we want to be viewed as more intelligent than others. Or maybe we fight and quarrel just because we want to win an argument. And sometimes we're tempted to argue about something that maybe we're not even passionate about, but it's something that we want to win an argument about. Sometimes we fight and quarrel because we have a wrong thinking heart. In Timothy's situation, we see in the text that men and women were quarreling over words. Are we ever guilty of quarreling over words? Sometimes we bicker and fight over terminology and language. And words are important and words have meaning. But maybe we're talking with a brother and sister in Christ and they're using particular words in a different way than we do. But maybe we really know from the context that they believe the same thing that we do, but instead we fight and quarrel over terminology. As I was studying the text, I went to John Calvin to see what he thought about this particular text. And John Calvin said that there are some who are always armed for fighting with the tongue, and who in every question are looking for grounds of quarreling, and who go so far as to lay snares around every word or syllable. But they're carried in a wrong direction by ambition and sometimes by an almost fatal disease, which I have experienced in some. So even someone like John Calvin encountered people like this. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we behaving in this way? Are we quarreling over words? Are we being contentious? Are we being gracious? But as Dr. Pruto pointed out this morning in our class, we also need to remember that oftentimes we fight and quarrel because it's Satan's desire that we would quarrel. See, Satan's like a roaring lion, and he seeks to cause disorder in the church of Christ. He seeks to cause disorder among the body of Christ, among the people. He seeks to cause fighting and quarreling so that anger erupts and people begin to not speak with one another. But why is this problem of quarreling, why is it wrong? Why is it a problem? Well, quarreling is first a problem because it isn't glorifying to God. See, God calls us to live in fellowship with one another. In Psalm 133, it says, surely brethren ought to live together in love and harmony. See, God calls us to live in community with one another, to love one another. In fact, Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus also says, people will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. Something we need to ask ourselves, that I need to ask myself, is when I fight and quarrel with those around me, what does that say about the love that I have for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, quarreling is also a problem because it breaks fellowship among believers and it destroys the listener. Please take a look at 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So quarreling is a problem, and it often breaks fellowship among believers. But how does quarreling break fellowship among believers? Think about it this way. I think most of you here this morning know Pastor Barry York. Pastor York is one of my professors, one of my former professors. He is one of my mentors. He's a dear brother in Christ, and he's also a dear friend. Now, when I was taking classes at the seminary, imagine if I would have gotten up in one of his classes and began berating him. Well, there's some consequences that would have occurred if I would behave in such a poor manner. I could possibly be kicked out of class, or I could receive a failing grade, or maybe I would even be expelled from the seminary. See, there could be vocational and academic consequences. But more important than that, that behavior would injure my relationship with Pastor York as a dear brother in Christ. But you see, if I have some kind of a feud between myself and Pastor York, it doesn't just affect us. And so often we don't think about these things along the line of our relationship with the rest of the body of Christ. You see, others would look upon us and see our poor behavior. Maybe they would begin to gossip with one another. Or maybe they would get involved. Maybe they would come and try to work as mediators, and then arrows could begin flying. You see, when we fight and quarrel with one another, it affects more than just us. It affects the greater body of Christ. And so often we don't think of ourselves within that context of individuals within the body of Christ. And each of us who are members of the body of Christ have particular gifts and talents that the Lord uses to build up the greater body. But when we fight and quarrel, it causes a multitude of pain in the greater body. Think about it this way. A good friend of mine, Patrick, had a toothache a number of weeks ago. In fact, it wasn't just a toothache, it was actually a dental abscess. And when you think about a tooth, it's really a small member of the greater body, but it caused a multitude of pain. He couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He had a fever. See, a small member of the body, the tooth, began to fester and cause pain and symptoms in the rest of the body. And that's how it is if we fight and quarrel with one another. It causes pain in the greater body of Christ. Now, Paul tells Timothy in our text, he says that when we fight and quarrel, it does no good, but it only ruins the hearers. But how does our fighting and quarreling destroy the hearer or destroy the listener? Think about new converts in the church. Think about someone who's just come into the church and they've accepted Christ as their Lord and they've been brought to life. They're a new creature in Christ. But what if they begin to see fighting and quarreling taking place within the church of Christ? And it discourages them. They begin to question, is this really where I want to be? Are these really the people that I want to interact with? Mature believers can be greatly hurt by quarreling within the church. Elderly saints can have broken hearts as they see men and women that they've watched grow up in the church fight and quarrel with one another. And ultimately, fighting and quarreling brings shame upon Christ and his church. Sometimes fighting and quarreling causes unbelievers to look into the church, and they say, if that is how Christians act, then I don't want to be one. I don't want to have anything to do with it. A congregation that I know and love dearly had a problem like this a number of years ago. You see, what happened was a third of the congregation wanted to have a cross put up in the front of the auditorium. It was one third of the church. And then another third of the church were strongly opposed to having a cross in the front of the auditorium. And then this final third of the congregation were really indifferent. They didn't have strong feelings either way. And what happened was what was once a good discussion quickly turned contentious. And arrows began to fly. And the people that ended up being hurt the most were that third of the congregation that were neutral, the ones that were trying to work as mediators between these other two groups with very different views on the subject. See, as believers, when we engage in contentious fighting and quarreling, it brings shame upon Christ and his church. It brings shame on Christ and his church. So we've just asked two questions. We've asked, why do we quarrel? And it's because of the sinful lusts of our hearts. And we've asked, well, why is quarreling so bad? Well, now we're going to ask the question, what is the solution for quarreling? What is the cure for conflict? And I'd ask you to look with me again at James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, as James has just told us this morning, conflict must first be fixed in our hearts. Remember, our hearts are filled with sinful desires. And so we must submit ourselves to God in humility. And submitting to God is saying, not my will be done, O Lord, but thy will be done. When someone is trying to engage in a quarrel with us, the easy thing to do is to fight back. But the right thing to do is to not engage in such behavior. You see, it's possible to submit outwardly but not humble ourselves inwardly. But a true mourning of our sins is how we can humble ourselves before God. James tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, how do we do this? Well, as James tells us, we cleanse our hands, that is to ask forgiveness of our sins, to lay our sins at the foot of the cross. James tells us to purify our hearts, that is to be single-minded in our devotion to God, to not think about how we can feed our own desires, but rather to do that which God has revealed to us in his word. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to look to Christ, to remember these things, that is, remember the gospel. Remember the gospel of Christ, that it's a gospel of grace. Paul calls Timothy and calls us to study the word of God, that we may find ourselves approved by him. And James calls us to resist the devil. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember, the devil is behind every war that we have, but if we resist, he will flee. Sometimes we resist the devil by not engaging in a quarrel. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says that it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. See, to engage in contentious disputes and quarreling is a foolish thing. Now, some of you, like me, may be asking yourselves, how can we possibly show restraint? How can we do this on our own? Well, the reality is we can't do this on our own. But in God's strength, we can. See, God is always willing to extend more grace to us. I want you to look one more time with me at James chapter 4, verse 6. He says, but he gives more grace. But he gives more grace. Some theologians actually translate this text as, but God gives more grace. But God gives more grace. And I don't know about you, but I find the phrase, but God, one of the most humbling and precious phrases in all of the scriptures. You see, each one of us here this morning were one time dead in our sin, unable to even think about calling out to God. But the Lord in his mercy sent his Son to live life as a man. And Christ took upon himself human flesh, and he took upon himself a human nature, and he felt pain like you and me. He felt grief like you and me, and he was tempted like you and me. And yet he did not sin. But instead he humbly submitted himself before the Father. And he died on that wretched cross for our sins. And each one of us here this morning has fallen short the glory of God. Each one of us this morning has gone astray. Each one of us this morning has fallen short. But God in his mercy has saved us anyway. And God sends his Spirit to bring us to a realization of our sin. You see, we in of ourselves are unable to do good. In of ourselves, we're unable to not quarrel with one another. The desire of our hearts is to fight and quarrel when someone backs us into a corner. But God sends his Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to cause us to grow in holiness. And this sanctification process, it takes time. And brothers and sisters, we will continue to sin in this life. We will continue to fall short. We will continue to fight and quarrel in this life, but God always extends more grace to us. There will be times in this life when we're tempted to quarrel and fight, but God always extends more grace to us. Friends, this morning, James and Paul really get to the heart of this issue of quarreling in their epistles. And as they point out, there will be fighting and quarreling in the church until Christ returns. But they've given us good instruction in how we ought to respond to this problem of quarreling. See, when we're tempted to fight and quarrel, we ought to remember to humble ourselves before God. We ought to remember to draw close to God and resist the devil. We ought to remember the gospel. But when we fall, when we sin, when we engage in contentious quarreling and disputes, we must not forget that God always extends more grace to us. He will always give us more grace. God has been gracious to us, and he will continue to be gracious to us. When we slip up, when we sin, we must lay those sins at the foot of the cross. Remember, his grace is sufficient, and his mercy is new each morning. Therefore, brothers and sisters, remember that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Let us remember that Christ calls us to refrain from quarreling by humbly submitting ourselves before him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the way that it convicts us of our sin. But our Father, we also thank you for the way that your word brings us encouragement when we might need encouragement in our lives. Lord, as we go out into the world this week, we ask that you would guide us by your Spirit, that we would not engage in contentious disputes, but that we would live in harmony with one another, clearly showing your love. And Father, we ask that ultimately that you would use us as your servants to share the gospel with those around us. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.